These are lovely readings, but what do they have to do about us? What is it asking of us as we listen to these lovely readings? Here's Amos, a man content to be a shepherd, a good herdsman, and very much in the spirit of Pope Francis in his encyclical Laudate Si, Respect for the Earth. Amos was already taking care of trees and healing them so that they would be good for the environment and good for people. And yet in all of this, God calls him to go into Bethel and upset these people's way of life. They're getting very greedy and very unconcerned about the poor among them. So you must confront them. And of course, we see the king was upset and said, get out of here. We don't want you to say any more. And then we have that second reading that calls, it reminds us, you are chosen people, all of us. We are called by God from the day of our baptism. We are holy people. We are the beloved of God. And now he sends us with not much of the world's comforts around us, but just go. He doesn't ever spell out the details of the journey. He calls us, asks us to go, but he doesn't make clear exactly what you're supposed to do. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded years ago, in a tiny little room with four or five people from the news, interviewing a man called Viktor Frankl, who became quite well known through his book, Man's Search for Meaning. And I was just curious as to how they were interviewing Viktor Frankl. And they asked him, you know, they said, you know, your teacher was Freud and Adler, great teachers, and yet your direction today seems to be quite different from theirs. And because Viktor Frankl was a little man of 5'2", he just smiled in his beautiful Bavarian accent, said, well, you see, the midget stands on the shoulders of the giant, but the midget sees further. And I believe that as we celebrate 150 years here at Malachy's, we are standing on the shoulders of giants. And hopefully, for that's what they would want us to do, have a vision to be able to see further than what has been seen already. But in order to do that, like Viktor Frankl, he said one of the most painful things for him was when he was first taken to Auschwitz. He had completed a life of work, of all of his thinking and process, and he stuck it down in his trousers because it was everything he had. And they took it, and in front of his eyes, they tore it to shreds. And so that was very, very painful. And then the kind of terrible atrocities he had to go through in the prison camp. He said, whatever kept me going was my love for my wife. I knew how much she loved me. I knew how much I loved her. And I kept on keeping her image before me as I was doing all these horrible tasks. And then I found, when I came back into the campsite, I found this man, Hans, a brilliant architect who was trying to take his life. And I simply said to him, Hans, you are a very gifted architect. I want you to design the 21st century of Berlin. He got him some paper and a pencil, and he got twigs from a broom and some toothpaste and said, here, sketch it, build it. As a result, that man, I don't know whether he ever committed, whether he finished building a 21st century city of Berlin, but at least he never took his life. And so today, we are called in a similar way. There's a lot of people that are looking for our presence, each one of us. There are many people who are sick and ill. Many people are troubled. Not that we aren't all. But your presence is so important. And we never know exactly how that's going to happen. You know, for the last year, after I canceled my subscription to the Plain Dealer, I now go to the local gas station at 30th and Carnegie, and that's where I get my paper. At least I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I find now that there's all these people like a beehive. They're addicted, they're hungry, they're without jobs. They're there every day, morning and early in the morning and late at night. So I find myself coming out, forgetting about that newspaper. I have it. But I'm realizing the real reason I'm there is not for the newspaper, but it's just to be present to these very, very broken, hurt people. And there's not a lot I can do, but I find just by being present, being gentle, being loving, it does help. And so for each of us today, I hope we don't leave here without asking ourselves, what is God asking of me now in my life? I've come across a beautiful young lady of 20 years of age who has watched three of her girlfriends take their lives on heroin. And she's tried twice herself. We finally got her through treatment now, twice, and trying to help her realize how loved she is, that you don't need heroin for the rest of your life because you won't make it. But trying to break her away from that addiction, assuring her of her goodness, like Viktor Frankl trying to give meaningfulness to her life. I'm sure we all encounter these things in some way or another. And we wonder, what are we supposed to do? Don't call me, and don't think about calling somebody else. Sit there and be with that person. And somehow you will come to know what you must say or what you must not say. And just be there. And so God asks us today to come and give life, to come and give hope, to be his witness in a very broken world. Much like our Holy Father is doing now. I'm sure the powers to be in places like Bolivia don't appreciate the fact that he wants to go to the worst prison in that country and visit those inmates, or confronting any capitalistic government right now of how much it's depriving the poor of what they need. This is not a pleasant role to be in, but he's accepting it, and he's doing it because he believes in the word that we've heard today. So may God give us the grace, the strength to be the followers of Jesus, to be his witnesses, and to know that through that, many will find their way and be healed